Chapter 7, Our Little Forever. "Well, what do you mean, different?" Aunt Josie responded to our neighbor, confused. "Of course things will be different. The poor baby boy is dead." "I meant no disrespect, Josie. I just been thinking about how Daniel was a child of the village, so to speak. Things will be different for all of us now that he's gone. But of course, he was closest to y'all. He lived with his brother. I'm just thinking of how different things will be for y'all. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just talking too much now." "Talking too much and about nothing you know about. Daniel ain't been living with his brother for some time now. I don't know what you're getting at with these sneaky questions, but you're starting on my nerves," Aunt Josie snapped back. She had a particular knack for being nosy, but hated when other people did it. Ironically, she also had a knack for being messy and oversharing while she was warding off other eavesdroppers and nose pokers. Nobody knew that I had moved out on my own except the family. In truth, it wasn't anybody else's business. It probably wasn't theirs. If I hadn't needed help from Aunt Josie to make arrangements for Daniel after I moved, I'm sure I wouldn't have bothered to tell her and the rest of my aunts and uncles either. Our tiny community sometimes had blurry boundaries. Folks didn't always understand that your life was your life, and their life theirs. Mama used to say, "Small places thrive on small talk." I guess that's all there was to it. But still, I'd had enough of people small talking about me. It made me feel little. "What do you mean, not living with his brother? Where else could he live? Akilah? Did you know about this?" our neighbor asked. Nobody was eating anymore. Our nosy neighbor had completely destroyed the mood. Here was our town's infamous gossip, starting before Daniel was even in the ground good. "I knew what I needed to know," Akilah said quietly yet sternly. Our neighbor was quick to respond. "Well, it just seems like at some point or another, all of us around here done had some hand in helping Daniel come up. Family is family, and I understand that. But if Daniel was living alone and he needed help, why not reach out to somebody and let them know? Why not ask us for help?" "Our business ain't everybody's business," Aunt Josie snapped again. "It's okay, Auntie," I said softly. Everybody got quiet. "I moved out into my own place a while ago, almost a year. When I moved out, we were able to put Daniel into an assisted living community across town. It seemed like a pretty nice place. He liked the nurses there. Everybody was feeling a little weighed down with responsibility, but also like we couldn't devote the attention to Daniel that he needed. So we decided it was the best option for his care and safety, as well as for us to be able to make some of the life improvements we were looking to make." "So you just left him there?" "We didn't leave him anywhere. He lived there," I said. "And now he's not living at all. Do you still feel like that was a good decision?" "You are out of line," Aunt Nell yelled. "I've got it, Auntie," I said. "Listen, Daniel lived with me longer than anybody. I was the closest person to him. You think I don't feel this? Feel regret? Like I don't think about every single thing that could have been done differently so this didn't happen? I missed him when he moved, but I thought I was doing the right thing. I never claimed to know everything." "The doctor said he died of natural causes." "At 19? I don't believe it. Can't believe it. But what can we do? He didn't have health issues. There were never any signs of complications. You're asking me if I feel like moving him was a good decision. You're really maybe asking me if I feel like Daniel died from a broken heart. From loneliness. Maybe it's true. But my brother had a hard life. Even though he smiled all the way through it, his life was so hard. And I'm happy he doesn't have to deal with that anymore. The drama, the trifles, the pain of only being able to see so far, but knowing there's more over the horizon. I don't have to care what you think about me and my family. But right here, right now, Don't disrespect my brother's memory by accusing the people that loved him the most and who he loved the most of negligence. We may be a lot of things, but we've never been that. We've never been that. Everyone was quiet. Our neighbors kept their eyes on their plates, some of them dragging their forks' teeth across the surface. Aunt Josie and Aunt Nell were red with embarrassment and crying, their husbands at their sides, consoling them. It was silent for a couple more moments. I'm not quite sure why, but I just started talking after a while. I hardly knew what I was saying. Aside from the last year, I had been with my brother for his whole life. My whole life. The parts that mattered anyway. You know how most kids are scared of the dark? Daniel never was. It always confused me because there he was, just as simple as can be. You'd think he'd be scared of everything unexplainable, acts of God, but no. He'd just sit in the dark, with thunder and lightning outside, clapping and grinning, having the best time in the world. When I asked him if he was scared, he would shake his head and smile. Daniel didn't see darkness as we have grown to know darkness. He didn't see goblins or monsters, fear, the unknown. He didn't see loneliness in the dark. Sometimes I think he was better off than all of us in that respect. That's how my brother lived. You might call it ignorant or oblivious, but I say that what we took for a disability, and Daniel actually turned out to be one of his greatest abilities. He focused on what really mattered. That's something I learned from him and try to practice. I think we should all practice it now. I know we all want to remember Daniel in a positive way. All of you had a hand in raising him. So do that. Remember him by what matters. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to remember the secrets we used to share under our covers on those rainy nights, walking to school together, explaining why Marco couldn't walk with him anymore. I'll remember picking up dandelions in Miss Pryor's backyard and blowing the seeds all around. I'll remember dressing him up for junior prom and standing in the back of the party embarrassed because he wanted to dance in the middle of the floor in the spotlight. A chuckle tumbled out of me. What a night. I remember taking care of my brother when he got the flu at 16, and it seemed like the end of the world. He couldn't understand why he couldn't breathe and his head hurt so bad. I remember living with him up until his first day at the home. I walked out of that room toward the door, and right before I got outside good, I turned around, and he stood there just smiling. Smiling, you know, like he knew I was worried. Scared to death. Like he knew I thought I was making the wrong decision, but smiling like he was telling me everything would be all right. It lifted a burden off of me. I barely coughed out. I was crying uncontrollably at this point. I didn't know what was going to happen. If keeping him with me would have kept him living, I would have kept him with me forever, I swear. I would have. But when I saw that smile, I felt like I knew something I had worried about knowing before. I knew my brother had a life. He lived. He had time. All the time he needed. Even though that time ain't but a fraction of what people like us hope to have. Daniel wasn't people like us, though. He was our people, but he wasn't people like us. The only thing that hurts now is that I told him I'd never leave him. That I'd be there for him forever. But you know what? Me and Daniel, we had our forever. We had our little forever. I figure I was talking too much or crying too much or maybe both because Keela came up and hugged my neck tight and then said a few words to the guests to make them get up and start leaving. We left soon after that and I hopped back in Keela's car even though our family wanted me to ride in the limousine with them. It was just me and Keela and the air in the car was thick. My stomach turned somersaults and my head was heavy and hollow. Keela rolled down the window. You know, that was really beautiful. That stuff you said about Daniel back there, she said. I was just talking. Yeah. Well, I hope they were listening. I really hope they were listening. Keela and I swerved around the back of Aunt Josie's house and parked in the grass next to the patio. I don't know if she saw my hands trembling, but I wasn't ready to go in. Keela took her phone and plugged it into the radio and started playing old songs. Songs like Mama used to play on Sundays when we would clean the house. I never did clean much on account of I wasn't very good at it, and Mama didn't want me messing anything up. But hearing that music and Mama singing along while everybody was cleaning their part used to make me feel good inside. Made me feel calm, like nothing could ever go wrong. I was thankful that Keela knew that, and even more thankful for her remembering in that moment.